set this down, if you don't mind. It's a distinct honor to be here with you all and to be able to join this panel. I'm learning more and gaining ideas as I sit here and think about things. You know, you heard yesterday from Dr. John Clifford, our CVO, as well as the other NAIS staff, about how USDA intends to move forward proactively in a common sense manner as it pertains to implementation of national animal ID. Now, from a different team, you heard from Samantha Simon talk about how we also intend to be able to support the market-based ways in which we can move forward on our age certification efforts, the source verified efforts. And so I want to try to weave a little of that today together and start talking about where we may be able to go in the future. Now, before we leap too much into the future, let's make sure that we're all looking at the past with a similar lens. I want to remind you once again, and I think I don't need to do it, but I really feel compelled to remind you once again, just of the cost of animal diseases to the American farmer and to the American rancher. Take bovine TB, for example. Since 2002, USDA has invested $130 million in TB eradication and all too often depopulation efforts in controlling this ongoing disease. Nearly 790,000 cows have been tested in that time period. More than 25,000 animals have been destroyed to prevent the spread of TB. Now, for those individual farms, those individual ranches, when you think about the loss of the genetic pool, when you think about the business interruption, this is a tremendous cost. Then there's BSE. I've mentioned this before. Since that one incident in Washington State, a $2 billion market share loss. We lost 80% of our beef exports in 2004 alone. USDA invested with its cooperators, those of you in the states, $5 million just in investigating the outbreak. And later, another $189 million on the enhanced BSE surveillance effort to be able to work our way throughout that. Now, for any of you, let's not overlook poultry and the impact on that. 2002 outbreak of exotic Newcastle disease. It began in California in two backyard poultry flocks. It was the largest outbreak in 30 years. It took 10 months to eradicate at a cost of nearly $160 million. There were 22 commercial premises affected, along with 2,400 backyard flocks. 4 million birds were depopulated before that job was done. More than 1,600 federal and state personnel were involved in some stage of that disease-fighting effort. I think these examples demonstrate that we are as vulnerable today as we ever have been to a disease outbreak. And they demonstrate very clearly the need for us to have a robust, vigorous system that can move quickly. I think we're well on our way now to having put together a comprehensive traceability system that builds upon the tracing mechanisms that are already well established in our existing disease programs. Now is the time to take advantage of our decades of experience and our decades of working cooperatively with farmers and ranchers and states to improve upon the speed and the accuracy of our existing traceability capacities. And we intend to do that. As you know, our ultimate goal is 48-hour traceability. Comprehensive, state-of-the-art solutions are needed to get us there. And I think NAIS, the Animal ID System, is well on its way to doing that. We're continuing to work in cooperation, in partnership, with both the states and with industry in trying to seek the input, the advice, the involvement of individual producers out there. I want it to make it very clear. NAIS is not something that's brand new. It is, in fact, something that is updated, modernized. It's an integrated approach to animal identification and, in turn, traceability. Our current animal identification efforts typically only address individual efforts, such as a individual disease eradication program, or interstate commerce, or breed registrations, or how do you regain market share by using an age and source verification program. It's interesting to think, when you step back and realize that we can actually have animals out there that may have been identified multiple times, but not be fully and rapidly traceable because all of those systems aren't integrated and able to communicate with each other. The result is a myriad of databases at the federal level, at the state level, the alliances that are pointed out in that Beef Magazine article, and a series of databases that today cannot appropriately speak to each other in the need of a catastrophic incident. This inefficiency, this incompatibility, directly impacts our ability to respond quickly and effectively in the case of a disease outbreak. Now, we don't have that time if the disease you're having to work with is FMD. Even in case of something with a long and slow incubation period, like TB, the time cost is excessive and is not tolerable on the long term. I'd mentioned this earlier to you. The last four TB investigations took animal health officials an average of 125 days to complete. We need to do something better than that. Now, there's a paradox here that we've got to overcome. The paradox is that our very success on disease eradication programs is undermining our ability to use the existing programs for traceability. A good example of this is brucellosis and Bang's vaccination. And I tell folks all the time, no heifer leaves my farm today that's of breeding quality that hasn't been Bang's vaccinated. But I give you an idea of how quickly the climate is changing. 1995, we had approximately 9 million heifers that were vaccinated and therefore identified with some level of premise registration on an annual basis. Today, our best estimates, you'll close out this year, with about 4 million heifers vaccinated out of an approximately 16 million heifers that are going to go back into the breeding herd. The paradox is, the more successful we've been in eradicating brucellosis, the less successful we're going to be in the future on traceability, unless we are willing to embrace a more comprehensive approach to animal ID and to traceability. We need a state-of-the-art system that can cut across all these lines, that can cut across the bureaucracy, that can cut across the barriers while respecting privacy and while respecting proprietary business information to be able to move more quickly. For the first time, we now have in the system in the United States a national animal ID system that we're moving very aggressively forward with in implementation. For those of you that are producers here in this room, it's about your livelihood. It's about your herd health. It's about your economic prosperity. And I encourage you to make the choice to participate in Animal ID. You know, from the very beginning on Animal ID, that's what it's been about. Protecting a producer's economic viability, their herd health, their genetic base. To that end, I'm very excited that in the next month or so, we're going to be releasing a business plan that will give everyone in this room the template of how we want to move forward in advancing animal traceability. You know, just a little while ago, Neil and the entire team did an excellent job of outlining a few of the strategies that we plan to implement as we move forward on how to improve upon our capacity with a goal of 48-hour traceability. I think you're also seeing, and everybody in this room knows it, there are no easy solutions. These are complex problems that demand complex solutions. What is very clear is that we need a well-coordinated cooperation throughout the industry. We need the participation of individual producers across species. We need help from state government. We need participation in the industry, especially in making sure that we construct a animal ID system that provides the enabling platform, if you will, for the value chain to extract additional opportunities that are out there. In the coming weeks, we're going to be sharing that preliminary draft of the business plan with many of you in this room, with others, state animal officials. We'll take it to the species working groups. We're going to take it to the NAIS subcommittee. I am very committed, Secretary Johans is very committed, to having an extraordinarily transparent platform, something that everyone can see, whether you're a supporter of Animal ID or an opponent of Animal ID. I want you to know where we're headed and why. And that's why you see all the information on NAIS up on our website. It's why we've got some background on the business plan here at the room. That's why also at the back of the room you can pick up and see the numbers by state. That's why the investments that we've made in the pilot projects are all published on the website. We want to be transparent and communicate to folks where we're going, why we're going there, and the importance of it as we move forward. Now, I think it's very clear to everyone, NAIS is the right thing to do. Its primary emphasis, its only emphasis, is about supporting animal health. That is the purpose first and foremost, protecting livestock, preserving the livelihoods of producers. But we can't ignore the fact that there are other opportunities and other benefits out there as well, both today, but I think most importantly in the future. Knowing that we can pinpoint problems and address them in the event of a disease outbreak builds confidence in the meat products that we put out there for the consuming public. We need to remember that that consuming public lies both here in the United States and abroad. As a matter of fact, building a comprehensive, state-of-the-art animal ID system does a great deal for us in regaining market share on those exports. Having a system in place will smooth the way for our export markets. We're all aware of the BSE concerns that are around the world. We've worked hard to demonstrate that we have the safeguards in place to ensure that the products that we sell are safe and are wholesome to eat. In May, the OIE, the World Organization for Animal Health, awarded the U.S. a formal classification of controlled risk for BSE. This gives us essentially a clean bill of health for our national cattle herd. It's a determination based on a scientific assessment of risk using internationally agreed upon standards. Trade partners that adopt those OIE standards as their own standards have no scientific reason for putting a barrier up against the acceptance of our beef products, and will be demanding to be able to take those down. NIAS, Individual Animal ID, is going to be a valuable tool as we adopt the regulations here in the U.S. to harmonize our own trade requirements, harmonize our own practices to make sure that we are fully OIE compatible. The opportunities we talk about a lot lie with those exports. But I think as you listen to the other panelists here today, you're also going to see that the same sort of opportunities, the same expectations for traceability, the marketplace demand for knowing how these products were raised and where they came from are equally apparent domestically as well. Now, folks have asked me a little bit to try to prognosticate on where things may be going on country of origin labeling and what may be in the future in the interconnectivity with animal ID. I think it's safe to say that there may be opportunities for that intersection if Congress chooses to eliminate the prohibition of interaction between NAIS and country of origin labeling. The administration has been very clear that the country of origin labeling statute, as passed in the 2002 Farm Bill, was extraordinarily problematic in that it impacted some sectors of the industry and exempted others. And in doing so, raised a lot of burdens and was clearly intended to be protectionist in its nature rather than providing consumers with information that they need. Now, as we're in the debate over the current Farm Bill, you see that intersection. And as you said, can you say China? That intersection has come into place with this and is strongly influencing the congressional scrutiny and analysis of COOL. As we move forward at USDA, Congress has told us a couple of times not to move forward on country of origin labeling until 2008. We will have the rules ready to go. We will be looking for how this may or may not come together with animal ID and have it fully ready to implement on September 30 of 2008 as we move forward. Now, as I wrap this up, this is an exciting opportunity for all of us in the livestock sector. Whether you come from poultry or swine, sheep and goats, dairy, cattle, we're going through a period of very robust prosperity in agriculture. You have a great deal of demand from the consuming public in our products. But that consuming public is also asking for greater and greater market differentiation and potential premiums. The opportunity we have with National Animal ID is to first answer folks' question about wholesomeness, health, and for us to be able to control those animal diseases that ravage some producers in the marketplace. But it also provides us the opportunity to have the enabling platform for us to be able to respond quickly and expeditiously to these emerging market demands and have that enabling platform be able to give the opportunity for greater market share for those of you in this room that want to seize that opportunity. That is the exciting synergy that lies out there between the core purpose of animal ID and the opportunity and the demands that you're seeing from the marketplace. For those of you who are producers in this room, I want to say it one more time. It's about protecting your herd health. It's about protecting your economic livelihood. If you haven't registered your premise, do it. I've registered my premise. It's free. It's easy. It's not an invasion of your privacy. For those of you that represent different sectors of either the value chain or partnership with us in Animal ID that's here, we're going to have a very transparent business plan for you within a month. That business plan is going to give you a good ability to look over the next 2 to 5 years about what's your role and how can you partnership with us on Animal ID. For all of you, partners, industry, opponents, proponents, farmers and ranchers that are in this room. As mentioned during the introduction, I take a great deal of pride in having the door open. I want you to know that I'm there to listen to you. I value your opinion, your expertise, and your counsel, and want to know how to continue to have us moving forward with an animal ID system that is common sense, it's commonplace, that works at the speed of commerce, and meets the needs of both the American consumer, the American public, and the individual farmers and ranchers that are out there. Thank you very much.